Well, let's pray and ask God's help as we come to consider his word together. Our Father, as we think of the baptism of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would open our eyes that we might behold marvellous things out of your word. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I guess the associations which we have with water are overwhelmingly positive. Of course, water is essential for life, isn't it? That's an emphasis which is reflected in the scriptures. Think of Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. It's the heat of the day, it's a dry place, and they're both at the well, thirsty. But Jesus speaks to her of a deeper thirst, an inner thirst. All her life, it seems, she's been searching for something and nothing has quite satisfied. Well, Jesus says to her, receive the water which I offer to you and you'll never thirst again. Indeed, I'll give you living water that will become in you a spring welling up to eternal life. Water is a picture of life. It makes sense, doesn't it? Without water, we would die. Water also a picture of cleansing. We use it all the time for washing. The Old Testament ceremonial washes point us in that direction. And in our passage today, we seem to read of cleansing. John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water. Now here's a ritual ceremonial wash which gets you wet. It makes you clean on the outside, symbolically. But one more powerful than I is coming, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. The rabbis tell us that untying someone's sandals was something that you wouldn't even get the slave to do for you. Now, if this were Downton Abbey, even the second deputy under acting footman wouldn't undo your bootlaces for you. You had to do that much for yourself. This more powerful one is coming, who is infinitely more important than John, infinitely greater. And what will he do? Well, he will baptize you, not with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will make you not just symbolically clean, but spiritually clean. Clean on the inside. Fire, too, can be a sign of purification. The burning up of the dross. He will give you a new heart that is transformed and pure. So lots of our associations with water, lots of the associations in the Bible are positive. New life, cleansing. I don't know what you've thought as you've seen the images of the floods on our TV screens and in the papers over these last few weeks. There is a darker side to water, isn't there? In great quantity, water can be immensely powerful and destructive, devastating. It can even bring death. There's a hint of that in our Old Testament reading, that if you are to pass through the waters and survive the rivers, you need God's help, you need his protection. Otherwise, the waters are something that might overwhelm you. They might come on you in a flood. And if we think of the Old Testament background for water, there's a similar kind of negative, threatening imagery there too. Think of the flood. Yes, for Noah and his family, in a way, we could say the water was the means of salvation. The waters carried the ark away and it was kept safe. But to the rest of the whole world, the water spoke of judgment. The wrath of God being poured out. That same kind of judgment of which John the Baptist speaks terrifyingly here, using that image of fire, which will be devastating and unquenchable. Waters in the Bible sometimes speak of the judgment of God. Or think again of the Exodus, when God's people are brought out of slavery in Egypt. They're escaping from Pharaoh and his army, and they're confronted with the Red Sea. And now they think, well, now we're for it, nowhere to go. The deep blue sea in front of us, Pharaoh and his armies behind us. Of course, God miraculously parts the waters. They escape through the waters. It's a means for them of salvation. But then those waters come tumbling back on Pharaoh and all his armies in terrible judgment. The waters can be a picture of judgment. And Jesus speaks in that way too. Remember, James and John and his mum come up to Jesus as they approach Jerusalem and Jesus heads towards the cross. And mum wants to just have a quick word, you know, get her requests in first. Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, let my sons sit on your right and left in your power. You know, give them the top jobs when you come to reshuffle or shuffle your cabinet. You know, can't they be Chancellor of the Exchequer and Foreign Secretary? And Jesus says to them and to their mother, well, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you be baptized with the baptism with which I am to be baptized? Baptism there, a picture of death, as the judgment of God will overwhelm the Lord Jesus. And there's something about here, I think, even at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, in his baptism. The people are all waiting expectantly, but then Jesus comes, and he stands with the people. He's baptized too. He takes the place of the people. Remember, it's a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, a baptism of cleansing. But what's going on here? Jesus has no sins of his own, doesn't need to be made clean. He's already clean. In the other Gospels, we're told that John even protests and says, Jesus, surely this isn't right. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. Why are you being baptized by me? Well, part of the reason, I think, is that Jesus is deliberately standing in the place of sinners. Jesus is going to face another baptism, his death, where he'll take on himself the judgment of God. The flood will overwhelm him, and yet Jesus will exhaust it for all those who will put their trust in him. He will die, but he'll also rise again. After death, resurrection. And that too is pictured in the baptism. Waters, and the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and God speaks. It's the creation, isn't it? Jesus is offering a new creation, a new heart. Here is Jesus, the new Adam, the new Son of God. Human beings as they were meant to be, Adam and all his sons were disobedient. But Jesus is perfectly obedient. God says to him, you are my son. With you I am well pleased. My son whom I love. The son who has God's seal of approval upon him. Here's the one we're to listen to, the new and better, the second Adam. Or it's after the flood too, isn't it? The dove particularly makes us think of that. After the flood, a fresh start for Noah and his family. The dove hovers over the waters. Remember the story from Genesis? Well, here's that dove again. A new, fresh start for planet Earth. Well, it's still just about the beginning of a new year, isn't it? So here is good news. Here is news of a fresh start, that we can be made clean inside, that we can be spiritually satisfied, that we can be given an eternal life that begins now in knowing God and which goes on forever. A promise that God will be with us, that the waters will not overwhelm us, that he will save and deliver us, that he'll bring us at last to the promised land, that in Christ all his promises will be fulfilled. That in Jesus, if we're trusting in him, we too will hear that same verdict which God spoke to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are my Son, my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. May God enable us afresh to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might know that fresh start for his name's sake. Amen.